Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
I see what you did there, Ohio State.
I get it. Trademark.
I got it. You won't be able to say that much longer if they get their way, I think.
I got it in before the trademark infringement. For those of you who think I'm being petty and gratuitous, making fun of the Ohio State University, you're right on. That's exactly what I'm doing.
I have a trademark in for and, so we'll see how that plays out.
I'm going to do something, since we're Keystone Kickoff, I'm going to trademark kickoff. So from now on, at the beginning of every game, when they say kickoff, they're going to have to refer to us. Anyway, the Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Catch all of our Keystone Kickoff Penn State football talk on our app, the Keystone Sports app, or find us now on Spotify and iTunes and SoundCloud and all of that stuff. And we had a big announcement this week. We are going to be introducing the Adam Brenneman Show, Life in the Red Zone. That's going to start next week. You'll be able to find that, well, wherever you find the Keystone Kickoff Show. So I'm looking forward to that. I am Jim Galante, joined today by Andrew Pichet and Bob Flounders. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Outstanding. Middle of August. Now, this is actually summer, Shay. Just, I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago. I think you pulled the trigger on summer a little early a couple of months back.
Anything above 60 is summer to me because I don't like the cold. But I agree. But it's cooler and raining, but it was hot as all get out last week. I loved it.
And this weather report was brought to you by Andrew P. Shea. Thank you, sir. Today we have an hour of Penn State football talk. In quarter number one, we're going to go through the news. Much of it brought to you by Mr. Flounders after spending some time out in State College this week. Mm-hmm. In quarter number two, we're going to continue our positional review by looking at the linebackers. Quarter three, it's the chance for Bob and Andy to answer all of your questions. And in quarter number four, we're going back on the offense for the positional review, and we're going to look at the running backs.
Yeah.
So linebackers, running backs. See, that's the good thing.
Wonder
about
who picked the show schedule.
That would be your host.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
They're two fun positions. And just to let you all know, our buddy Ross Tucker, he is handling some work with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why he's off these couple weeks. But he will be back with us. Don't worry. All right. Let's get to our news and beyond Ohio State trademarking the word the.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you were out in State College this week. Got to see a few things, part of practice. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, well, let's just kick it off with the quarterbacks and what James had to say. He has not named a quarterback. This doesn't surprise me. He can say it was about installations. But
right.
I think this was always going to be a little bit of a drawn-out process. It makes sense to me for a couple of reasons. They want to take a long look at both guys. They want to give both guys some reps with the ones. But I think in the back of his mind, it doesn't make a lot of sense, unless you're Bill O'Brien, he did that a couple of years ago, to name your starting quarterback before August, because it kind of is a little discouraging, I think, to the loser. And I remember when Bill basically threw Stephen Bench out of the competition, and he said it was between Ferguson and Hackenberg, and that just didn't go over well. I just think that it was always going to be a third or fourth week decision. It makes a lot of sense to me. I would expect maybe middle of next week. I also think that they kind of know, and I think that they're just saying we haven't had a discussion about it. To me, I'd be surprised if it's not Sean. That has not changed for me. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah, I think in terms of James, there's nothing to gain by him announcing a starter before camp starts, right? On many fronts, right? For either player, for the big picture, for keeping both fish on the line, you know, a little bit. You want to keep both kids. So there's no reason to name a starter, but I think him and the staff know who they want to go with. But why not give both of them a second serious look? It's free time. Take it. And I don't have a problem at all. I don't think they need to name it until, you know, after they break camp and before you head into the first week, do it during that time. But next week seems right. But
if there is a downside, just to play the other side of it, it would be, I would think, not getting Clifford as many reps as you might want.
He got a lot of reps in spring. I think he got my sense is he got the bulk of them. And the other thing is, James did say, it's one of the reasons Tommy left was James said it was going to be a true competition if he declares a starter after 5 days.
Right.
I don't know that that's a great look either. And you're like, well, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that also. Yeah. The other part to this, though, after I said about getting Clifford more reps, is you do want to get Levis more reps because you are one play away from Will Levis being your starter.
He's got to go through the whole install. And James is – the install might be a little bit of a
sure
picture smokescreen, but when you break it down, Sean got the lion's share during the spring because he needed to get a little bit of a more install. And they need to have Levis at the same level.
Also, in the battle for number three, a little bit of a surprise. It seems to me that Taquan Roberson is ahead of Michael Johnson. I don't know. They both enrolled in January, but usually you see Sean go with the ones, then it's Will, and then it's Roberson. And then if there's anything left over, it's Johnson. Now, that may change, but I'd be surprised. It looks to me like he's in the catbird seat to be the number three quarterback.
Surprising a little bit, but – yeah. That's still your number three guy, and that matters.
Just a little bit, but I think Roberson was thought of as more polished coming in.
Sure.
Where Johnson had the higher ceiling. He definitely has the
rough
ceiling.
He's a little rough around the edges, but I think the ceiling for Michael is a little bit higher.
Gotcha. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
I was a little late with my indicator there.
Right in front of the microphone, waiting for my turn.
All right. Well, Coach Franklin had a few things also to say about the safeties. It seems like he likes the depth there.
Yeah, and I think this is a reflection of, you know, the schools that they face that are really good, Ohio State, Michigan. They don't really have starters per se. They just play guys. And when, you know what I mean, and as when the fourth quarter rolls around, They're fairly fresh, and the teams that they're not that are only playing two guys wear down. And Penn State's usually, up until the last, you know, maybe last year, they've been leaning too much on their starters. And now I think he's absolutely telling the truth when he says, we like three guards we're going to play. We got four safeties we really like, especially with Brisker, the JUCO, looking like he's ready to play. They have five or six ends. It sounds to me like they got five defensive tackles. All of this bodes really well. I think Garrett Taylor might be one of the most improved players on the team. James keeps talking about how he's changed, how he's smarter, how he's remade his body. He had a good year last year. If safety was going to be, I thought, maybe one of the more questionable spots on the defense, it sounds like now it's this defense really defense has a chance to be special. And watching them for 10 or 12 minutes during the media portion, they were kind of working on the red zone and all specifically inside the 10. The defense was all over the offense. The quarterbacks couldn't do anything. The receivers couldn't get open. It was a struggle. There was no room. There was no room to run. And James has said the defense has really had the offense's number more so, I think, than any other year.
I think a very telling comment from Franklin, the portion I heard, was on defense, we're long and fast.
Yeah. Yeah. He says it every week, and I think every week it becomes more and more apparent, especially with some of some of the young guys stepping to the front. Just a couple of notes real quick. James has mentioned Caden Wallace a lot. And I originally thought he was going to be a guard. I'm wondering now if they're going to look at him a tackle.
That's what I thought.
Because he was recruited. A lot of people pegged him as an elite guard. I think Ross liked him as a guard, but he also said he's got the size to be a tackle. He's a big tackle, but he has mentioned him more than once. I would also say two more things. I have not seen, and I don't know what – there could be a lot of reasons for it. I have not seen a lot of Justin Shorter the last 2 weeks. I've seen a lot of receivers. Last week he was on the field. I just didn't see him out there. I was looking long and hard for him. They used every receiver but him, I think, during the 10 or 12 minutes. I don't know what that means. I think it's good news for Daniel George. I think if you're looking for a big receiver and it's not going to be Justin Shorter, it's got to be Daniel George.
It could be Daniel George. Another thing on the offensive line that stood out to me is, and understandably with the car accident he had, and James talking about Mike Miranda having to learn guard and center to be the backup center. Juice Scruggs is not going to be able to.
Yeah, I asked him about Scruggs last week, and he kind of danced around it, but it didn't sound like they had cleared him medically to do anything.
And the fact that they're having to split time and they're going to use three guards, but Miranda has to be ready to be, you know, center number two in case something happens to Michael Bennett. That's a clear indication that, you know, that Juice is not going to be able to play this year because of the injuries he sustained in the car accident. Let's hope he gets healthy and better. But that's just right now, he's not going to be available. And it makes them a little thinner across the front.
Or at the very least, they don't know if he's going to be back and when.
Yeah. And one more note. This is not necessarily, to me, it was fascinating. I don't know if you guys picked up on this. It's not so much about the current team, but I was surprised. Brian Bates was going to make the Eagles. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. They really liked him, the free agent. They traded him to the Bills because the Bills had a need on the offensive line. One of their starters got hurt. The Bills are now looking him as a center, and I think they really like him. They gave up a player that was a third-round pick. I think his name was Eli Harold from Virginia. So I just wanted to say, you know, I was a little skeptical about whether Ryan could make the transition to the NFL, and they used him at guard and tackle at Penn State, but a lot of people thought his best position all along was at center. But I just want to say I'm impressed that he was able to make those strides, because the Eagles have a team that a lot of people think might be the best in the NFC, and a lot of the beat writers thought that he was going to make the team.
At least he was going to be a practice squad guy, somewhere in the 53 to 60 at worst, and that it was a possibility. It also says that Buffalo, for what they gave up, they had a really high draft grade, or a high enough draft grade on Ryan to give up something for it. And the Eagles, that's just how the Eagles get better, is how he keeps making these moves that are just fantastic because he has the depth to do it. But I think Ryan Bates is almost a lock to make the 53 for Buffalo.
And after that trade, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really he's good, and he's versatile, and he's versatile and good at many positions, and that makes a difference.
I think people underestimate – everyone's into measurables, especially at the NFL, and he might not be the strongest guy, and he might not have a set position. But if he can actually if he actually doesn't get you killed too much at three different positions – I mean, I just remember A.Q. Shipley. He was another guy that just lasted forever because he was versatile, he was smart. I think Ryan Bates has positioned him maybe to do some things in the NFL.
And don't forget, Bates was always, after his freshman year, was one of the most athletic offensive linemen on that team. That mattered.
On that note, that will be it for our quarter number one. Stick around for quarter number two. We go back to our positional preview, and we get to talk about linebackers. This should be a lot of fun. We'll be right back.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.